So we'll stand together and read tonight. And we'll read a little down into the chapter because I feel like it's very important, need to. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." He said, "For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And by the way, remember, the devil works on your mind. He can work on your body, and he can work on your mind. Amen. And he does that, but he works more on your mind than he does your body. And think about that. He said in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge," I believe Paul was just a plain-spoken preacher. He didn't have no... Amen. He'd already said he didn't come in enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, "But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." And some folks will say, "Rob, he's a thief. Many took money that people would give him from other churches, do the work there so he wouldn't have to put them under a bind. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, but God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." And verse 13 said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom tonight to understand, and Lord, to comprehend, and also, Lord, to declare what we need to speak and say tonight. I pray that you might touch hearts. Lord, we go out of this building, we say it's been good to be in the Lord's house. We picked up something that can help us. Lord, not only can we just hear the truth tonight, but may we take the truth and apply it. Lord, the truth not applied to our hearts, not going to help us. I pray, dear God, tonight that we'll apply it to our everyday walk and talk. Lord, what we hear and read from the Word of God tonight might get in our feet, our hands, our mind, our hearts, and our tongue, and Lord, in our body, that we might walk as you'd have us to walk in this sin-cursed hour. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd give us liberty to declare. And Lord, unction from above. And Father, may we demonstrate the Word of God in its power and purity. We'll say thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about tonight three things that the devil is using to attack the salvation of God in a mighty way. And we'll find them tonight in verse number 4. I pointed these out sometimes down through the years and the course of months. And I don't know, it might have been last week. I don't know. But anyhow, I've got it marked in my Bible, so I know I've given that. And it said in verse number 4, verse number 4 said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." Now one of Satan's tools tonight and one of his strong attacks on the salvation of God is another Jesus. If a devil can get us to thinking about another Jesus, then he's got salvation destroyed. Amen. That's attack number one. Then he said, whom we have not preached. Now he said, if you're going to hear somebody preach another Jesus that we haven't heard preached, that we haven't preached. Then secondly, he said, or if ye receive another spirit. Another spirit. Notice that spirit there is not capitalized. It's not Holy Spirit. He said, if you receive another spirit which you have not received. The devil wants to take away and give us another Jesus. And he wants to give us another spirit. Amen. This is very important. I'd love to spend one message on each one of these. But I'm going to try to get them all together tonight. And then if you look, it said in verse number 4, or another gospel which ye have not accepted. The tools and attacks that Satan makes tonight is another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And we see that demonstrated around us every day of our lives. I have never in my life been at the place where people are so confused about the Bible as they are now. Years ago when I first started preaching, I didn't know much about the Bible, don't know much about it now, but I've learned a few things. And you could talk to somebody about the Bible, and most of them knew just a little bit about some of the things, and you didn't have as much controversy. You didn't have as much argumentation. Most everybody believed, matter of fact, didn't have but one Bible then anyhow. Amen. Everybody had, well, there was others, the RSV and some of them was out, and RSV, it was out, and the RV was out, the Revised Version. Some of those, they would mention every once in a while, and of course, people just pushed that to the side. They didn't even classify that as the Bible. Every people I come in contact with all around me believed that the King James Bible was the only authority, and they read from the same pages, sung from the same choir book, and believed the same things. And so they didn't have that much argument. But now everybody's got so many different views. This is what I think. You talk to another and he said, this is what I think. You talk to another and, oh, this is what I think. And I've even had them just look at me and say, well, preacher, I don't believe God meant it this way. And preacher, I don't believe God meant it that way. And everybody's got their own little ideas now, seem like, about what about the Bible's teaching. And so the devil has taken that and he's worked on our minds. And now he's given us another gospel, he's given us another spirit, and he's given us another Jesus. I want to talk about those just for a little bit. Matter of fact, these three areas of life, brother, is something. Now, you talk about the false teachers. Our country is filled with false teachers. Amen. We've got some good men standing in our pulpits around this country. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. There's some good men preaching the Word of God. Thank God for it. There's no two preachers will agree on every single thing, but doctrinally, we have the same doctrine if we have the same Bible and we have the same Spirit. Amen. Somebody said, this preacher preaches the same thing you preach, preacher. I wish, amen, you could see that's exactly right. Amen. If you're preaching from the same book, you're going to preach the same things if you've got the same God. And the same Bible and the same Spirit, you're going to preach the same thing. Amen. Some may bear down a little harder on some of it than others, but they'll preach the same book. And you're going to recognize the false teachers and the false prophets today by the fruits that they bear. You're going to be able to differentiate and find out the way they speak, whether they're real or not. You're going to be able to watch how they live to see, and then I'll give you the third one. There, you watch the company they keep. You watch the false teachers, the false preachers that are up, going up and down the country. They're running with the false crowd. Amen. They're not comfortable with the fundamentalists, and the fundamentalists are not comfortable with them, and that's right. So, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But let's turn to the second chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians for a minute to read three verses. Hold your place there. And I want us to look at something the Bible said is going to happen in the last days. And beloved, I know we're in the last days. We're not headed to them, we are there. In the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, very familiar scripture, scripture you know a lot about. He said in verse number 1, "Now we beseech or beg you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Verse number 2 said, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind." You remember I told you a while ago the devil works on your mind? Amen. It's the devil's workshop. Amen. You've heard people say that. And the Bible don't exactly come out to that, but it does teach that. That you may not soon be shaken in your mind or be troubled. He said, neither by, what's that? Spirit. Isn't that what we found over yonder? Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He tells us that. Then he said in verse number 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And then he goes on to talk about the coming of the Lord and the Antichrist being set up, and we're not into that subject tonight. But if you'll notice that, he said by spirit. It's not capitalized either. The devil tonight knows how to work with us and produce another spirit. And he's going to, you know, do it through the word. Amen. He's going to twist and warp the word of God to make people believe what they want to believe. And he's going to give them a new spirit and a new gospel and a new Jesus. And he works on that every day to change things. I've never seen a lot. I mean Baptists. Used to Baptists, they basically believed the same things. But today, one Baptist church believes one thing and another Baptist church believes another thing, and their doctors are so confused and so messed up that it's a real pitiful situation that we're living in. That's the truth. Now he said, not to be shaken in mind by the Spirit, and not to be shaken in mind by the Word, not to be shaken in mind by the letter. And then we find in the book of Galatians that he said that they preached another gospel, which is not another gospel. So we know today that that's what the devil does. Now these teachings and getting our minds perverted and away from God will bring these things to us. Number one, it'll bring confusion. When you got false teachings and false doctrines going on up and down the country, and that's what we've come to, and when we've got so many different versions and perversions of the Bible and we can't get together on one version at all, then what it does is bring confusion. Number two, it'll bring mistrust. We won't know what to trust or who to trust. And number three, it'll bring fear to our hearts because we cannot get that perfect peace of God because we're not using the Word of God. And number four, it'll bring bondage. And that's where we're living in this spiritual hour. Brother, men and women are so messed up with that. And they're talking about another Jesus. Not another, not the Jesus of the Scriptures, but another Jesus. You said, oh, I don't hear nobody talking about it. It's the way they live. In other words, another Jesus is how the world sees Christ. How the flesh sees Christ. How the unbeliever sees Christ. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I look at Jesus much different than a lost man looks at Jesus. A lost man looks at Jesus and he says, well, he may have died for me on the cross of Calvary, but I don't know as he's going to be able to save. Hey, he might have been a great teacher and may have been a great philosopher and he may have been a great leader and he may have been somebody because we found him listed in history. But to know him, I don't know him. And so they got doubts and fears and they won't trust him and there's no faith in him. And to them, that is another Jesus from my Bible. Amen. The world says Christ was. He was a great prophet. And they look at him. Well, he's not one. His miracles weren't real. He didn't raise from the dead and so forth. And they deny the miracles of God, deny the great things of God, deny his blood and all that. And brother, that's what the world says about another Jesus. And I tell you tonight, I look at it from a different standpoint. And I appreciate tonight how God has helped me with that. Now, not only does the world see it different, not only does a lost man see it different, but religion sees it. Jesus is a different person than I do. Amen. Oh, they think he's a head of the church and so forth and a leader. Just think, and when I think of this, I think about Roman Catholicism. anybody that could put Mary ahead or a high place and think that Mary could forgive sin, they must have another Jesus than what my Bible teaches. Amen. To baptize a baby in infant baptism and claim it is saved for time and eternity, I want to tell you tonight that you've got to have a different Jesus than my Bible teaches. Amen. And we could go on with doctrine after doctrine after doctrine that we see this played up with today, and we'll find that it's changed. Amen. And then the human mind. We in the place in our, as many folks' minds been twisted by alcohol and drugs. I've never seen the like it. The people's minds are twisted and perverted. And on top of that, they're full of devils. You may not agree with that today, but a lot of problems we're having in the country is not from drugs and alcohol. That's one of the avenues. Drugs and alcohol and sex are some of the avenues that devils can get in the body. Amen. Amen. You said, I don't want no devil. Leave them things alone. Amen. It'll help you. You'll have enough to have to fight without them three things. But I want to say to you, as you're thinking about these things, that religion has a different view. The human mind has a different view. And so now we're relying on what people think. We come to church. We're not caring why a preacher gets up and preaches. He preaches the Word of God. Well, that may be the Word of God, but you know, I don't see it just like he preaches it. Baptists, amen, are guilty. Well, he made a good point, and he brought a good thought, but I'm not so sure it's that way. And you just read it in black and white. But you know, I kind of have a tendency to believe it just don't mean exactly that. It don't matter what you think. What does God say? So we don't want to take God's word for it. So just think about these things. My philosophies or somebody else's philosophies should not impress us tonight. The Word of God is what should lead us and direct us. Amen. And so they get it. I read my Bible, and somebody else said, well, that ain't what my Bible said. And another says, that ain't what my Bible said. You have a congregation in our country today, and we don't have that here, surely not. If you do, amen, I hadn't checked Bibles lately. But surely, if you went to a church and you got 100 people, 200 people, and you got 10 different Bibles in there, what are you going to think? Won't that bring confusion? Sure, it'll bring confusion. And the devil would use that as a tool. Amen. Well, you know how the world plays it up. They play Jesus up in Hollywood a lot different than I play him up at the church house. You think about that a minute. I've never seen a Hollywood version of any Bible story tonight that's ever been right. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, I know there's some things wrong with it, but you know, I sure did like it. What if I preached that way on Sunday? What if I preached what I thought? And what if I preached something different and perverted out of a different... Wouldn't you not like that? Amen. It's all right to put it in the movie. Think about that just for a minute. Liberal pulpits, and they're not preaching the Christ to the Bible, and people are listening to it, amen, to and fro. Well, let me tell you what God said about false teachers. Number one, jot this down. He said, we need to identify them. Let's take our Bibles and go into 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, if you don't identify the false teachers, if you don't identify them, you're going to get in trouble. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 4 and verse number 3. The Bible said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. False teachers and false people tonight, and those are in the days of following after the things of the world, will not endure sound doctrine. God said there's coming a time. Do you believe we are there tonight? I believe we have already arrived to the place that people will not endure. They may hear it, They may listen to it, but endure it means that they won't cling to it, and they won't accept it, and they won't believe it ever, and they'll just pass it off. Bible teaches us here they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own, what's that? Lust. What's lust? What we crave. Lust is what we crave, what we desire. Amen. Go to hamburger place and we're hungry anyhow, and it don't take much. Amen. Lust after a T-bone steak. You may not could afford it today, but amen. And a lot of things. Have something. That's what's wrong with us now. Lust on a lot of things, and we could talk about that for a long time. But he said, but after their own lust shall they what? Heap to themselves, what's this? Teachers having itching ears. Amen. Just tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they like. Pat them on the back. We've come to a place that that's what people are looking for when they're looking for preachers. Amen. Amazing to me, back years ago, the old preachers would preach and strong preachers would stand up. And the old man would leave, and first thing he'd done, the pulpit committee would say, you know what we want to do this time? We want to get the pulpit committee to look for a young preacher this time. You know why people don't want old preachers, don't you? They scratch the taters out of the ground. They dig a little deep. Amen, these young preachers, they scratch the dust off the top. They don't get too deep. And so cause why? They're looking for teachers with itching ears. So the Lord said, we got to identify them. And he said, and they shall turn away their ears to the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. First of all, we've got to identify the false teachers and the false religionists today. If we don't identify them, we're not going to know who they are. Second thing, the Bible teaches us in 1 John. I've given you these scriptures before, but I've done it in a different manner. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible said in verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, what we're talking about tonight, the spirits. This is not the Holy Spirit. He said, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world, whereby know ye the capital Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And he goes on to tell us if they didn't believe that, they're not of God. And so tonight, we not only got to identify them, but secondly, we've got to try them. We've got to try them. He said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We've got to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Verse number 1. We've got to identify them, and then we've got to try them. How are we going to try them? We open our Bible and see if they're preaching and teaching what the book says. And if they're not preaching and teaching what the book says, they're false. That's how we do it. Third thing we've got to do about them is verse 17 of Romans chapter 16. Go back to Romans. Amen. Acts and then Romans. Go to chapter number 16. We identify them, then we try them. And in verse number 17 of chapter 16, it said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You got to, first of all, got to identify them, try them. Thirdly, then when you find them, you've got to avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Amen. I could not tonight. That's why tonight I won't run with people who don't believe in eternal security. That's why tonight I don't run with this crowd that believes that certain ones are going to heaven and certain ones going to hell. That's why I don't spend time with some of these today. It's got different doctrines from what I've been preaching from the Bible. It's not because I've been preaching it, but because I've found it in the Word of God. Amen. So I don't hobnob with them. They can shake my hand, say, how you doing, and leave me alone. I've done marked them, and I'm going to avoid them. Amen. I get in the restaurant sometimes, and I don't even want food with them. They're at the next table or two. And amen, you think out of respect you ought to go shake hands, and sometimes I do, but I want to tell you something, I don't even want to fool with them. And they feel about the same way about me. But God said to him, mark them and avoid them. Don't be mean to them, just mark them and avoid them. Amen, don't fool with them. Don't hobnob with them. Don't have donut cake, donut and devil's food cake parties. Amen. That's right. Leave them alone. Mark them and avoid them. Then in Titus chapter 1, he tells us something else to do with them. In Titus chapter 1, amen. The Gideon sometimes wanted me come down and have a good free meal. Give you a free meal, preacher. I don't fool with them. Amen. I like a free meal. If you don't believe it, try me. Amen. I like a free meal, but I'm not gonna jeopardize what I stand for a free meal. Titus chapter 1, verse number 10. Amen. The Bible talks about this. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for a filthy lucre's sake. Amen. And I believe tonight we ought to rebuke them. You really don't study it down there. Not only should we identify them, try them, mark them and avoid them, but we ought to rebuke them. And in 2 John chapter number 1, which is not but one chapter, 2 John chapter number 1, and look at verse number 10 and 11. It said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That means we are to reject them. Shouldn't have time of day for them. Amen. That sure was a quiet one. Amen. Cults deny the Lord. They deny the Spirit. And they deny the doctrines of the Lord Jesus, and now talking about the gospel. And when they do that tonight, we'll find that they teach all kinds of things. They'll teach tonight that Jesus Christ was the brother of Lucifer. Heard that kind of teaching before. They'll say that they were brothers. And then they'll come from the other side and say, well, Jesus was Mary's son, and bring him down to a human level. Amen. And bring him down to an ordinary man. He was, amen, he's the son of God. Mary was the vessel God used to bring him into our world. Amen. Then they'll come along and they'll say, hey, we're lost. We've lost a sight of him. And through our deeds and through what we can do, we can get out of a lost state and be saved. In other words, we can half work our way in. Oh, they'll say we're saved by grace through faith, but we've got to help the Lord get us saved. Amen. Those who are trying to hold on tonight and hold out to make it in, they're trying to work to stay in. And if they're trying to work to stay in, they had to work to get in. I tell you tonight, I'm saved by the grace of God, saved by His grace, no other way, by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The religions of this world, they deny the Lord Jesus in their doctrines. They will tell you tonight that we're not completely saved on our own. As I said, we have to help Him. And then once He saves us, He can't completely keep us saved for time and eternity. We got to stay on the beaten path, and we got to do some things and not do some things to be able to stay in. Some say that Jesus died for the elite. Others come along and said He died for the elect. And I say He died for all. Amen. So they try to change the thoughts of another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel tonight. Some think that He will not judge sin, and others think He will not judge sinners. But I got news for you, He'll do both. He judges sin every day. Jesus come to die and nail sin to the cross. But yet every sinner that does not confess Jesus Christ and receive Him, He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, in the everlasting fire. Amen. The world tonight is sleeping and not watching for Jesus. And the saints of God, many of us are not watching tonight, and we're sleeping as well. Amen. Threefold attack tonight on our salvation is another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. But let me give you a threefold attack tonight that the devil's doing upon your service and my service. He hates us to live for God. He don't want us to do anything for God. He don't want us to walk clean. He don't want us to walk the way the Word of God tells us to walk. He wants us to walk the ways of the world. He wants us to go in a different direction. And so tonight, here's three ways that He's going to work on you. Number one, He'll work on your walk. He don't mind how much Bible you know. The devil don't care how much doctrine you learn. He don't care how deep you get in the Scriptures, as long as you don't let it get into your feet and start walking the way the book tells you to walk. He don't mind you reading the Bible as long as it don't get down in your heart and start affecting your outside life. I'm telling you the truth, saints. Secondly, He don't care about your doctrine. Amen. How much doctrine you know? Just as long as your doctrine don't change your spiritual attitude and you don't walk in the Spirit, He wants you to walk in the flesh. He wants you to live in the flesh. He wants you to waller in the flesh. He wants you to love the flesh. Because if He can get you to love the flesh, He can get you to love the world and the things of the world. And then the next thing you know, you'll start having an affinity to the things that He loves. I'm telling you the truth tonight. It's simple. He'll work on your doctrine to try to destroy your doctrines. Amen. To make sure they'll have question marks come into your mind so that you won't get established. He does not want you to be established in the faith. He wants you to be wayward. He wants you to be up and down. He wants you to be at the place of question marks in your mind. He don't want you to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of God. He wants you to just be mediocre and not let nothing bother you except the things of this life and the world. The things of God are not to disturb you according to the way the devil likes. Not only will He work on your walk and your doctrine, but thirdly, He'll work on your witness. Witnessing is one of the hardest things you ever found to do. Amen. I guarantee you nobody in this building got up this morning and said, glory to God, I'm going to witness to 100 people today. Lord, You line them up and I'll witness to them. Amen. Somebody wouldn't even, you'd be afraid to pray that because you're afraid they'll start coming to your door. Amen. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, today give me somebody to witness to. Give me somebody to... You don't pray that. You know why? Because the devil has already ruined us on our witnessing. He don't want us to witness. Amen. Well, if somebody comes around, I'll give them a tract. Hey, let me tell you something. There used to be a time people walked out in a public and hand the gospel tract. You say, oh, you're getting in trouble today. So? What's that hurt? Anybody been here in here tonight ever been locked up for giving out a gospel tract? Hadn't been locked up yet. I sure have been threatened. I've been stopped. I've been told not to do it no more. The old chaplain come running down the hall. I was going down the hospital and I was giving tracts out. And I guess they went and told the little chaplain. He come running down the hall, bald-headed, short as he could be. Didn't look too much like he knowed God much, and I mean, evidently didn't. And he said, hey! I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm passing out literature, going to see somebody down there. I took all their name in the hospital. He said, you can't do that here. I said, can't do what? He said, you can't pass out literature. I said, I just did. He said, you can't do it. You got to go get in line or fill out paperwork and let them put you as a chaplain on duty. And I just see that. I've done tried some of that. They don't want certain chaplains. And I said, well, okay. And so I said, all right, you have a good day. He said, you have a good day. And I said, here, let me give you a track. He wouldn't take it, but I tried to give it to him. I went on down the hall, cut the corner, and passed them out. Amen. I've been threatened. And you can be threatened, but you know what? The devil works on our witness. We say, well, I don't want to cause no confrontation. That's why we slip in the bathrooms and slide them under, amen, put them on things so nobody will see us, you know. Go down to Walmart and look around and see if anybody's looking and slide one over there. Walmart, or see, Kmart. Amen. Guess what happened to Kmart? Kmart called me one day and said, preacher, or said, he said, I want to talk to Dennis Deals. I said, this is he. I said, I'm the pastor of Bible Way Baptist Church. He said, well, he said, preacher, he said, I love God. But he said, I'm tired of finding all this literature in the store. I said, well, I ain't putting none out down there, but I'm glad somebody did. He said, I get tired. He said, I find it in pants pockets, coat pockets, behind everything. And at that time, I knew somebody at this church that did that. And I knew who done it, and I said, all right. He said, what'd you do? I didn't reprimand him. I said, somebody called me about you today. He said, you're putting out literature in Kmart. He said, yeah. Amen. And I left it right there. Didn't tell him not to. Amen. Little fella come walking away. I was a pastor of church, and we had loudspeakers on the outside of the church. Big old loudspeakers. What happened is we used to put them on top of the car and drive through the community, and I'd preach on them. And they got an ordinance up and said, you can't do that no more. Not just because we did it, but it's just kind of all around. So we had something to do, had to do something with them loudspeakers. So I put them up under the eave of the church. Way up, there's a trailer park behind us. And on Sunday morning, I would get up, and when the choir went down, I'd get up and I had me a little switch wired under the pulpit. And we had the PA system on during the service. But when I get up to preach, I flip that switch, and what it done, it turned the PA system to the outside. Wasn't on the inside no more, and I had a microphone. And it's just as loud outside, except it's bouncing off the side of those mobile homes on the back. I preached on that for a few Sundays. A little girl come to church, and she said, preacher, she said, every Sunday morning, my daddy won't come to church, but I come, and said, every Sunday morning, he'll sit there in his chair in the living room watching television and drinking beer. But said, when you get on those loudspeakers, he takes that beer and sets it down to the side, and he listens to you. And I said, well, praise God, it's doing some good. But I preached one Sunday morning, and after service on Sunday morning, here come this fella. No, he come over on Saturday afternoon. And he come over on Saturday afternoon, come up on the door of the parsonage there, and he said, preacher? I said, yeah. He said, I'm a truck driver. I said, well, glad to meet you. And I'd like to invite you to church. He said, well, I can't come to church. Matter of fact, that's what I'm here for today. I'm driving, and then I come in on the weekends, and I sleep and get all my sleep up so I can go back out. And he said, I sleep on Sunday. And about the time I get to sleep, you turn them speakers on and said, you wake me up. And I said, okay. He said, I promise you this one thing. You preach on them speakers tomorrow, and I'll have a warrant served on you, and you'll go to jail Monday. Now, what'd you do? You said, what'd you do? I flipped my little switch, and I preached on Sunday morning. You said you go to jail on Monday? Didn't see him on Monday. Didn't see him on Tuesday. 4 or 5 weeks it went by. And I was over at Howard's grocery store, us a little ways across over town, across the railroad over there, and I'm in that store buying a few little groceries. Got up the counter, here come that dude. And I said, here are we going to have some problems. He come up to me and shook hands with me and he said, hello, preacher. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good right now. He said, I just had a major heart attack. And he said, I just want to tell you, I want you to pray for me. I said, I certainly will. I certainly will. Just because he had to be real smart and come over and jump on the preacher, God took him down a notch. You hear me now, aren't you? Brother, I'll tell you what, he wasn't so mean to the preacher after that. He is nice to me. But Lord, I want to tell you something. We have to stand and do what we have to do. But the devil, he don't want us to witness. Amen. I haven't spent too much time on all these others. You said, yes, sir, you have. All right, I'll go on. He's taken another gospel. Not only tonight, another Jesus, but another gospel. We'll save that for another time and another spirit. And people's got all different ideas. See, the Lord fixed up tonight where I preached the other two by themselves. Now, I think about this. I think about the holiness movement. They're the ones that's messed up the Spirit of God. Amen now. You may have friends in it, and if you do, that's fine. I've got some. I don't hardly know what to do with them. They don't hardly know what to do with me, but I've got a few friends in Pentecostal realms, a few Church of God friends, a few holiness friends. When the holiness movement started out, they began to be one of the greatest movements to be known for separation. Wouldn't let their ladies wear short sleeves, short hair, short dresses. Amen. And they certainly wouldn't let them dress like a man. And they believed in separation from the world. But now in our modern day, they're not known for separation from the world. They are known as saturated by the world. Thought we'd stay in the same perspective. But they messed up the spirit world. The word Baptist now is scared to holler hallelujah, glory to God. And they kind of made our meetings dead. Amen. I can't understand why every church service we go to can't be and ought not to. I mean, it ought to be. Every time we go to church, a camp meeting, a revival, a jubilee. You said, why? Paul said, sometimes I make myself happy. Think myself happy. You come dragging in here. You come in with an old, dead, cold, dry spirit. I'm going to church because I have to. When I get out, I'm going to go eat somewhere. I'm going to do this when I get out. Some of you done got a half a dozen things on your mind. What you going to do tonight? And they can just bless me if they want to. You can get a holy grunt out of me. Preacher, help yourself. You ought to think yourself happy. Don't come to church to get a blessing. Amen. But I'm almost in the ministry 50 years. I'm going to make you something. I'm going to tell you this tonight. This may hair-lip you. This may disturb you. This may make you mad. But I've never been slain in the Spirit. I've had the Spirit of God on me, but I've never been slain in the Spirit. I can't even find a place in the Word of God where Paul got slain in it. I've been in this thing about 50 years, close to it now, and I've never spoke in tongues. So is something wrong with you? I've asked God to give me all I can get. If there's something else added to this thing that I don't have, I'm getting close to the graveyard, I want to get it before I go. I I've been in this thing nearly 50 years, and I've never got in the spirit and barked like a dog. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And boy, they do in some of the meetings. Have you ever heard of that? How many has heard them barking like dogs? Okay. I didn't read none where Paul did either. I'm telling you the truth. I've been in this thing all these years, and I've never got in the spirit to the place that I had an uncontrollable life. Like that. But they've had revivals and call them life in revivals, and they lie for weeks. Now you can go home and say we laughed a little bit last night, but it wasn't in the spirit. Am I telling you the truth? I've demonstrated it, but that's the truth. Now, on top of that, I want to add this. I know some great, good, godly men that have spent more than 50 years in the ministry. Some of them came through, and I'll never be anything near what those men were. But they never done any of these things either, and they had the power of God on them. So the devil's trying to give us a different spirit, another spirit. Well, I'll come back and preach on that some more. I just wanted to throw that in. Heads bowed.